Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say proofs, we're talking about the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus. Not some phantom, not some ghost, if you will, but Jesus Christ physically, bodily, resurrected from the grave. He died on the cross. He was buried. The third day he rose again, as he said he would. And ladies and gentlemen, there are those that will deny the truth of the resurrection, saying that was just a phantom resurrection, that Jesus was not physically raised from the grave. But ladies and gentlemen, you go back in the scripture, and you find that Job believed in the resurrection. Job believed in that fact. He says in the 19th chapter of Job, verse 25 and following, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And thereafter my skin worms destroy my body. This body in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins, that is my heart, be consumed within me." David believed in the resurrection. Psalm 17:15. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake," that is the resurrection, "with thy likeness." Isaiah believed in the resurrection. Isaiah 26:19, "Thy dead men shall live, together with the dead body shall they raise, will they arise, resurrection that is. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Daniel believed in the resurrection. Daniel 12:2 said, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake," that is, the resurrection, "some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So, ladies and gentlemen, for those that reject the truth of the resurrection, they're rejecting Jesus' own words. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that he would rise again. Matthew says that in Matthew 16:21, "And suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." That's Jesus' words. We find that also in Matthew 12, verse 38 through 40. We'll not take time to read it. Matthew 17:23, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed in the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorrowful." Matthew 26:31 and following, "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Matthew 28:6, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said he would. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Mark 14:28 says, "But after that I am risen, I will go before thee into Galilee." Luke 14:14 says, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." One other one, we've got dozens of them, but John 5:28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and be raised." Ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the resurrection is prolific in the scripture. If you refuse to believe it, it's because you're denying the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Before we take our next caller, let me touch on one or two other things very briefly. That the Bible is replete with evidence of the resurrection. The main thing is twofold, and then we'll look at the whole plethora of those that witnessed Jesus' bodily resurrection. After he had arisen from the grave, they witnessed seeing him in his resurrected body. There are two things that I recite in my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection, that's found in the scripture. First of all, the stone is gone. John 20, verse 1 and 2, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. You can find that also in Luke 24, verse 1, 2, and 3, Matthew 28, 1, 2, 3, and 4, Matthew 27, verses 21 through 66, ladies and gentlemen, or 62 through 66. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is full of evidence. But the major thing that we see when the first witnesses get to the tomb, Mark 15, the latter portion of the chapter, talks about the ladies watching from afar off. They watch where Jesus is buried. The next morning, or the second day, they go. That's on Resurrection Sunday morning. They go to find the body and go to the tomb. They want to pay the respects after the death, burial of Jesus. They find the stone is gone. And secondly, they find the Savior's gone. Matthew 28, verse 1 through 6, and John 20, verse 2. John 20, verse 2 says this, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. There's that old song again, up from the grave he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. I pray that you're challenged by this study today. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing good. I think you and I have something in common. I can't hold a tune worth a lick. Dogs howl, babies cry, and wildlife scampers. So, but yeah, Thomas doubted, and he actually got to touch the wounds. I think every single one of us will see him. Those that profess Christ and believe on his resurrection, every single one of us will get to touch those wounds and see those wounds.
And, absolutely.
What a day that'll be.
Those wounds in his side and in his hands and his feet will be highly visible when we get to that place called heaven. We'll be able to witness, sir, as Thomas did, with our eyes and with our touch and feel as we enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know of any greater study in the Bible, any study that should cause any greater hope and peace and joy in the heart of the child of God than the study of the proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine getting to the tomb? By the way, when you study the text in Mark chapter 16, the resurrection study, I call it the Savior of the Cross. When you look at that study, you find the ladies approaching the tomb, and they were mumbling to themselves, how are we going to get in? How are we going to get in? The stone, as they recall seeing from afar, as the stone is rolled into place. And some say that stone could have been as much as a ton, 2,000 pounds or more. Huge, huge stone covering the mouth of the grave, the tomb. And they were mumbling to themselves, who's going to roll the stone away? When they got there, they looked up and saw the stone was gone. And they looked, and when the witnesses rushed back and looked in, they saw the Savior was gone. That's the two primary evidences of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for that. Jim, thank you so much for your call and for your input.
Thank you, sir.
It is something that we need to rejoice about and rejoice over, and the realization and the recognition that the stone is gone. The Savior's gone. He's no longer in the grave. He's no longer in the tomb. He has arisen. He is arisen. He's alive. He's alive. Thank you for your call today. Have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me take this moment once again to invite you to Resurrection Services at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 1 mile south of I-295. We're right in the heart of the Mandarin District. We're right in the heart of Mandarin, and it's at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, I say this because normally our Sunday morning services. 9:30 is Bible study, and 10:45 is morning worship. That is not the schedule for this Sunday. Hear me. It is not the schedule for this Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, we'll have 8:30 to 9 o'clock. We'll have a brief finger food fellowship breakfast together. And then after at 9 o'clock, we'll have the Bible study time. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll have the morning worship service. We're preaching on the text, the Savior of the Cross. And I pray that you'll join us. If you're not involved in a church where you are, if you're not a member of a church but looking for a church home, be delighted to have you as our special guest this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, as we preach verse by verse, word by word. We call it expository preaching. Expository preaching is almost unheard of in Christian circles today. Expository preaching is where you take the unit of thought, verse by verse, word for word, you proclaim it, you explain it, you then amplify it, and you look at it on the, from the basis, how does it apply to us? It means being applied. The scripture needs to be applied in our lives. So we invite you to join us. We're 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I get into the actual, what I call the actual substance of the proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe it would be fitting if we look at something that I talk about, that there's the protest of the resurrection. There are those that will deny the resurrection. They come up with all kinds of theories. One of the theories, and I'll look at two or three of these briefly for us, because after you hear what are the false theories of the resurrection that are not just false theories, they're denying the reality of the resurrection. The denial of the reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, in my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection, I go into great depth with these false teachings, the false theories. There's seven of them, seven of the false theories of the resurrection of Jesus. Number one is what they call the swoon theory. The swoon theory says that Jesus did not really die on the cross. He only fainted. He swooned. The Roman soldiers just thought that he was dead and took him down off the cross and put him in the tomb. The second is, ladies and gentlemen, the hallucination theory. The hallucination theory says that Jesus' followers were simply distressed. They were distraught. They were having PhD or whatever it's called today, the syndrome where you are frightened because of what you've seen. They consider that his disciples were so distressed, so upset, so in the state of shock over his crucifixion that they began to think that they saw him even though he wasn't really there. The hallucination theory, we'd call it the phantom theory, where they thought they saw Jesus, but it wasn't. And then some say that it was just private hallucinations, that when he appeared in a group to after his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to a group of people, that some saw him and some didn't. It was simply a group hallucination. Some said it was a private hallucination. Others said it was a mass hallucination that was taking place. The third theory, the wrong tomb theory. Now, perhaps you've heard these before. Perhaps you've heard them in a slightly different way. I'm presenting them to you in a negative sense that these are not real. But some of these theories are presented from pulpits as reality. I want you to understand that. The wrong tomb theory says that the reason Jesus' followers found the tomb was empty is that everyone simply went to the wrong tomb. They were just confused. They didn't know what tomb to go to. They thought they saw a look-alike, somebody that looked like Jesus. The stolen body theory say that Jesus' disciples conspired with others, with the Roman soldiers and others, to steal the body to make it seem as though he had resurrected, so there was an empty tomb. There's the temporary burial theory. Some say the grave where Jesus was buried was only a temporary tomb, that the body was secretly removed and buried elsewhere, therefore the tomb that the women went to on Resurrection Sunday morning, the first Resurrection Sunday morning, I might add, that they were surprised that morning because his body wasn't there, because it was the temporary burial theory. And six, the substitutionary theory, say that Jesus' look-alike was buried, a twin substitute. By the way, that's right out of the Book of Mormon, and not the Book of Mormon, it's right out of the Islamic book. It is right out of the Islamic thought and theory of Jesus, that Jesus really wasn't buried. Jesus really didn't die on the cross, that the Christians had a lookalike that died on the cross, a lookalike that was buried, that Jesus Christ never was placed on the cross and never died, was never buried. The substitutionary theory is one of the theories. This is actually the way the Quran puts it for the Islamic teachings. Tell us that Jesus, his supposed crucifixion, his supposed resurrection, and they recite that, by the way, in Surah, that's S-U-R-A-H, we call them verse and chapter, Surah 4, verse 157 and 158, is found in the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a demonic lie, and that's being carried out in a perpetual fashion in many circles today that makes it look as though Jesus Christ did not come up out of the tomb alive. The seventh theory, the legend theory. The legend theory says that the resurrection is simply a legend. This legend supposedly originated by Jesus' disciples to keep his teachings alive after his death, to accomplish what they invented in the invented stories, as the legend theory goes. Ladies and gentlemen, suffice it to say, those are all false theories. And I recite those in my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection. And you can have a copy of that book by dialing 1-800-GO-BIBLE. It's $15.99, about $16 total. And then your shipping cost on that for less than about $20, you can have that book. So place your call, leave your name and address, somebody to call you back and officially place the order, or call when someone is on hand for that. And place your order. We'd love to have that book in your hand. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Pastor Davis, go with your question and comment, please.
Well, praise God from whom all blessings flow, Dr. Youngblood.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Well, I thank God for what you are discussing on today, because this should be very real for every believer in Christ Jesus, not only because he was raised from the dead, Dr. Youngblood, but also the other part to go along with that is that he ascended back up on high, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Amen. So that lets me know not only did he get up from the dead, but he ascended back up on high, and he still lives on today. So we have every reason to rejoice, because not only do we have a dead and a risen Savior, but we also have a living Savior that still makes intercession for us right now on the right hand of God. So for that reason, we ought to rejoice each and every chance we get. And I thank God for that, because he is living. Amen. Amen. When we pray, he answers our prayers, and he has done that for me this week through the touching of my wife's body. Amen. He has blessed us, amen, with healing, with salvation, and with deliverance. And for that reason, I continue to give him praise.
Amen. That's a good testimony. I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful to hear as we have communicated, as we have been praying for your bride, and we're thankful to hear of her healing and health and well-being today. It's a blessing. Pastor,
amen.
We're thankful
amen.
For you and thankful for your ministry and thankful for what God is doing through you. And we're thankful that we can jointly issue words of praise and thanksgiving via this broadcast today for the fact that we're serving a risen Savior. Let me ask
amen.
You a question
amen.
That you may or may not
yes,
have a succinct answer for, but I'd love to hear from you. Why is
yes,
it
sir.
In your mind, why is it, as you see it, that so many want to deny, summarily deny, the resurrection of Jesus? What is the reason behind that? I've got an answer, but I'd just love to hear your response to that.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, according to, can I say, the course of life, because, you know, the times have gotten so wicked. I mean, even God told us that every generation was going to be wickeder and wiser. When we look at, you know, the way that people are living on today, the wicked and the unrighteous people do not want to give accountability to anyone, especially God. So this is the reason for a lot of the unbelief in the world on today, and sometimes that can even infiltrate the walls of the church, simply because some Christians neglect reading the Word of God and getting an understanding. That's what the Proverbs tell us, in all thy getting, get an understanding. So if we get that understanding properly like we should, coming from the Word of God, and believe. You see, I can draw some thought from John chapter 11, verse 40. When Christ went out to the tomb of Lazarus, he told Martha, he said I not unto you, in other words, didn't I tell you if you just believe that you would see the glory of God. Amen. So we on today have to take those same thoughts to heart. If we believe what the Lord said, we can see the glory of God. So that's the reason why the unbelievers are continuing on the same message that happened after Christ was first raised from the dead, because some of the soldiers, the scripture tells us, was paid a certain amount of money to spread that lie, that that deceiver never was raised from the dead. So that lie has not departed from every generation, and it carries forth even unto today. But I will be the first to try to encourage each and everyone, learn how to get a grip on the scriptures, so that when we face times like this of unbelief and people going against what the gospel says in the word of God, then we can reach back and have something, a solid foundation that we can stand on coming from the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for your input. You're spot on with that. Have a Amen. Blessed resurrection service. Hug your bride for us. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call. I think there's been more preaching about the resurrection of Christ this year than I've ever seen, and I'm so glad, because it's made me do some investigation. But, Dr. Youngblood, you remember when they hung Jesus on the cross, his detractors, not his followers, heard his detractors hollered at him, "You saved others." Now, they didn't say he attempted to save others. They just full-blown said it. He saved others. Now let us see him save himself. Well, he didn't come to save himself. He came to give himself on a cross. But wouldn't you say the fact that his detractors actually admitted that he did save others is pretty well the proof on the pudding that he did raise others, such as Lazarus, from the dead, and they just didn't understand why he came to give his
brother,
life
you
on
hit,
the cross.
Brother, you hit the nail on the head. In fact, that'll preach what you just got through saying. You're exactly right. They recognized and admitted that he saved others, and then they said, and the twist of that, why don't you save yourself? And as you said so succinctly, he came to die, not to live. Jesus Christ hanging on Calvary's cross could have called 10,000 angels to release him from the cross, but he died on the cross willingly, volitionally, to save us from our sins. He shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cruel, cold, callous cross that we might live and that we might have abundant life.
Hello.
You there? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. I was going to say, Dr. Youngblood, I've looked this year, and I've seen all the accusations hurled at our former president, and it's made me realize that sin just don't work. You can try theft, you can try murder, try lying, try to say you're of a different gender, but in the end, it looks like sin's running out of success, isn't it?
It is. Sin has its limitations, but God supersedes. And through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have our sins remitted. But you touched on that, and I must digress for a moment. I think that we're going to find the fast-tracking of this case with Trump. I believe we're going to find that an appeal will have to be made to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court must, based on Constitution and constitutional law, they must summarily cancel or reject the case. It will come to naught. And yet the scripture is very, very clear in Psalms 27 that one that rolls a stone up for someone else for it to fall on, it will fall on them. If you dig a pit for someone else, you'll fall in the pit, Psalms tells us in chapter 27. So I'm praying that God will be vindicated through what will take place in the days before us. And the joy, 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 as the old song used to say down in my heart, is that Jesus Christ is alive and well. But Tom, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your input. Your words of wisdom are very, very treasured, and I'm thankful that you see what the Scripture is saying. I pray that our listeners heard with open hearts and minds to receive it. Thank you. Have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen,
Dr. Youngblood, I only hope that our listeners will contribute to this broadcast so this truth can be continued to given out.
I'm praying that they will, and I'll take this moment to encourage, go to the website, FCBCAT.com. Go down to the broadcast button and press the button to donate $5, $10, $50, $100 a month, whatever God will allow you to do, that we might continue to broadcast. And not only that, but broaden the base for the state of Florida and other states as network time comes available. So that's highly needed. And Tom, I want to say this too. Thank you for your support in prayers and your support in finances that we continue to do what we're doing today on this broadcast. I've always said, and you've heard me say it, may your tribe increase. Thank you so much for your call today. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. Let me go down this very quickly in the time. Time will not allow us to go to. There's 11 different eyewitnesses, 11 different examples of eyewitnesses of the Savior alive in his resurrected body. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, John 20, verses 11 through 18. He appeared to the other women, Mark 16, verse 1, and Matthew 28. He appeared to Simon Peter, Luke 24, 34. He appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, verse 13 through 24. He appeared to the 11 disciples, Mark 16, 14, and other texts. He appeared to all of the disciples at one time, Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. He appeared to doubting Thomas, John 20, verse 26 through 29. He appeared to over 500 at one time, 1 Corinthians 15, 6. He appeared to James, Jesus' brother, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. He appeared to, at the time of his ascension, at Acts chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. He appeared to Saul of Tarsus, which was Paul, when he appeared in his Shekinah glory in his resurrected body. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me wrap up our thoughts today. I'm going to read to you a writing from one of our sons, Greg. Greg wrote these words, and I find it fascinating. Greg wrote these words. Peter is asleep. Judas has betrayed Jesus. Mary is crying. Hope is lost. Death has won. Satan is laughing. Jesus is buried. A soldier is standing guard. A rock is rolled into place. But Sunday is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful that we serve a resurrected Savior. I'm thankful that you have the scripture that has a plethora of resurrection proofs that Jesus Christ arose. And one of the major, major, major proofs that I say is the final capstone, the proof of the resurrection of Jesus, is if he is alive and well in your heart today. You would be the final evidence of the resurrection of Jesus if you've said yes to Jesus Christ and he's alive and well in your heart today. I pray that that's the case for this Resurrection Sunday. I pray that you know Jesus Christ as the resurrected Savior in your heart and in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.3.